This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
No Pain, No Train, which is an incredible documentary out at the moment. And we're actually going to have an amazing interview, guys.
We are.
We are joined this morning by Mick van der Vried, who will be chatting to us about No Pain, No Train, which is a film about the 50-year-old fight for the Roeville Rail. Mick van der Vried is fronting that battle and the film is screening at the Environmental Film Festival on October 13 at ACME. But without further ado, Mick joins us this morning on the line. Good morning, Mick. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our absolute pleasure. Sorry, it just went silent for a minute there. So, Mick, I'm getting confused with my mics here. We've got one mic.
Mick and Mike. The double trouble.
It's just, you know, some of the greatest are named Mick and Mike, the Michaels of the world. So, Mick, can you please tell us, for those who don't live in the area, what is happening at Roeville and why is there a need for a train?
Well, Roeville is a very car-cultured suburb.
Yep.
Because it's developed with very poor levels of public transport. So for the last, 40 to 50 years, residents have been lobbying for improved public transport. Some of that's been delivered through some really good bus services, smart bus services that the then BRACS government delivered back in early 2000. But we need a train, and we need the train badly.
So, just in case those people don't know, so there was supposed to be a plan for the Roeville Rail originally proposed in 1969. Why originally wasn't those plans put forward, Mick? Was there greater need for a rail service somewhere else, or wasn't there enough funds for the government?
Well, those plans included, that was a 1985 transport plan which was put together by the then Liberal government. I think Dick Hamer was the Premier at the time. The plan included the Metropolitan Rail Loop and a number of freeways and the Roeville Rail Line as well as the Doncaster Rail. The Melbourne Loop was, Underground Loop was built. Many of the freeways were constructed. And I think really around about that time, the car culture really took hold and there was lots of pressure to keep building freeways and a lost focus on building rail lines in particular or public transport. So as a result, not long after that plan, roads became dominant, road construction became dominant and public transport dropped right off. So we need to fix that. And I think we're starting to, but we need to move a lot faster.
Sure thing.
Was it pretty difficult around Roeville at the time for you, particularly, and a lot of people that you know around Roeville, being such a car-centred city? Was there a lot of people that you knew that were quite, were struggling quite a bit to actually get from place to place around the Roeville area?
Yeah, absolutely. And before we, in the infancy of our campaign, there wasn't even any decent bus services. So after around about 6 o'clock at night, and often on Saturdays and Sundays and public holidays, there was no public transport at all. So if you were young and didn't have a licence, or an older person and didn't have your licence either, or just didn't have your licence and couldn't drive, you basically were landlocked and couldn't get out anywhere. So it was a real equity issue in terms of transport options. Over time it's improved a little bit, but we still have some significant issues with getting into the city. It takes around about, an hour and 10, hour and 20 minutes to get into the city with a smart bus train connection. So there's a smart bus that runs up Wellington Road via Monash University, hooks in at the Huntingdale Railway Station. By the time you've taken the bus and the train, it's taking you an hour, 10, hour and 20 minutes, depending on traffic, etc., to get into the city. And it's probably about the same, an hour, hour and a quarter to get in by car. So a Roeville Rail, as per the feasibility study, would take you around 35 to 40 minutes at the most to get into the city.
Wow, that really cuts it down.
Yeah, it does.
So obviously that's a really long time. Why do you think a film was decided as the format in which you were going to talk about this proposal that obviously hasn't been passed yet over, you know, writing a pitch or something like that to your local government?
Well, to be honest, I was approached by a young fellow by the name of Xinghai Ho, who is a terrific young bloke who wanted to actually produce this documentary on the Roval Rail. When he told me about it, I thought, well, this is a dream come true. How often do you get approached by somebody to actually be involved in a video which is going to promote something that you strongly and the community strongly believe in? So it was just a simple matter of being approached by the right person at the right time, who as we found out, have done a magnificent job on this documentary.
And of course, the film being at the St Kilda Film Festival, such a huge festival in Melbourne. Do you believe that the film will actually prompt a lot more thought around the Roval Railway line? And do you think it certainly has that platform now to actually allow that train line to be delivered in the area?
Oh, look, absolutely, because what it does is it tells the whole story. It clearly outlines the processes that the community, the Knox Council, have always been very supportive of the Roval Rail. I was on the council for 10 years, and so I know that for a fact. I was in a lot of the meetings talking about it. And now you've got, the then state government, which is a Liberal state government, at the time undertook the feasibility study, and the author of that feasibility study, William McDougall, coming out and saying it's very viable, coming out and saying that it can be built and it would have a cost benefits ratio of around about 1.4 to 1.6, William said. So, it's a great opportunity to put that onto a DVD and sell it to the community, tell them the history, tell them that, it can be done, it should be done, and in my view, it's inevitable it will be built. It's just a matter of let's get on with it and let's build it.
Yeah, let's scrap the metro rail line and let's do this one. This is more important.
So what message, Mick, are you hoping viewers will take away from the film?
Well, the message that I hope the viewers take away is that it's inevitable, that it can be done.
Okay.
And that a lot of work's been put in behind it. I've spoken to some people and they say, because they haven't seen much being put into the press recently, they think that it's not going to happen. But when they see this DVD, they'll get a clear understanding that there's still work being done behind the scenes. The government has done a lot of work on looking at its feasibility, and the community's still behind it. So hopefully it will get them interested in getting involved as well as we move towards the next state election. Yeah.
And just on that, obviously SYN is all about young people. Why would you say that No Pay No Train is a good film for people, young people in particular, to go and see?
Well, because I think it gives them a good understanding of the processes, of the political processes, and the community involvement that often occurs as a part of lobbying for this sort of a project. And I think young people have got the most to gain from this, because this rail link, and not just from Roval, from all across Melbourne, this rail link will give a fast and efficient rail connection into Monash University, which houses around about 36,000 students and staff. So it's not just beneficial for young people in Roval and, to the east of Monash University. It's also beneficial for young people from all around the city, with in the sense that it will enable them to get to Monash University in a much quicker fashion.
Sure.
And of course, driving around Melbourne with the bumper-to-bumper traffic every morning, it would be such an expense for, students, starting out with a car and fuel and everything, to actually get to the campuses on time and, cost-effectively every day. So a train is so much more cheaper for them and a lot more efficient.
Well, it is, and I'd like to say too that the university stands to gain a lot from this too, in terms of giving their students and staff transport choice. I mean, as I say in the DVD, have you seen the car park there? It's unbelievable. It takes up such a massive amount of area, and that is just a great waste of land space that could be put to buildings and facilities for the university.
Even a station.
It's also so expensive. I have to say, Mick, I'm a Monash student and I drive because I live on the other side of the city, because taking a train at night, because I do night classes, it's just not feasible. It takes me too long to get home. It takes me about an hour and a half once you get through on all the trains. And so I have to drive, but there's the parking's ridiculous. Like, they've got a huge car park, which they charge. It's so expensive to park. So you're risking getting fines and because you're trying to find all day free car parking, and just if you could have a direct way to get to uni, that it would just benefit the university so much and the community as well.
Yep, exactly.
Now, Mick, of course, you were talking before a little bit about lobbying in the community and people taking action upon and taking a stance upon, you know, getting the Roeville Rail across the line. What advice do you have for people who are out there in the community and particularly around the Roeville area that want to take a stance on this and want to make a difference? What advice do you have for them and what kind of stance can they take on the issue to get this across the line?
Well, it's pretty simple. Our current local member, Kim Wells, when he was in government, was instrumental in getting the feasibility study put together by his government at the time. Mm. So Kim Wells is supportive, and he features in the video saying that, you know, he backs the Roeville Rail. He's obviously not just looking at that project. There's a couple of projects as well, like the airport rail link that he sees as more of a priority. But nonetheless, he supports the Roeville Rail. So I think if the community can contact their local member, and not if they're not in Kim's electorate, obviously they can go to their own local member, but if you're in the Roeville area, you can contact Kim Wells and let him know that you know, that you back this project and you'd like him to push as hard as you possibly can to make it a reality, whether he's in opposition or whether he's in government. I think that's we've already got a council that's on the side, or the council for many years has listed the Roeville Rail as its top main transport project for lobbying purposes. The other one's the Knox Tram. And that's over and above any road project or, you know, any major road project as well. So they can talk to their local council and indicate to them that they'd like them to keep pushing, you know, to be vocal, to, you know, approach the state government whenever they've got an opportunity to say, hey, we want the Roeville Rail built. It's one of our, it's our top priority major transport project. So that's simple. They can write to their local papers. They can just talk to their friends. I mean, we've got to get active. I was at Stud Park a little while ago with Shinghai Ho promoting the DVD with a little Roeville Rail station sign in our hand, and I couldn't believe the amount of young people that came up and spoke to us about that.
Oh,
that's terrific.
And they thought it was a reality. They thought it was going to happen. And I said, no, there's a lot of work to do, guys. You've got to get behind this.
So, there's
plenty they can do.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
I have to ask, Mick, if the Roeville line is installed, do you believe that that will help with the population growth and other issues that you have as a result of the lack of connection?
Yeah, we've actually got a lot of suburban areas, particularly around major activity centres, are undergoing, you know, housing change. There's a lot of apartments going up around Roeville, around the major activity centre there. So population is increasing. And obviously what comes of that is parking issues if you haven't got decent public transport around those apartments, and then of course the traffic issues getting out onto the main road. So this is only going to get worse if decent public transport like the Roeville Rail isn't delivered. So, you know, governments for a long time have backed high density development. I think all of us understand that that needs to happen because we can't sprawl out into the never-never. We keep going the way we were going, we would have been out of Fansdale by now. So we need to have more high density development in the right areas. But governments have to deliver the public transport infrastructure to attract people to get out of their cars and get into public transport. And look, they haven't done that well. You know, they've got behind the housing, the changes in housing development, but they haven't necessarily followed that up with the public transport that's needed to complement that.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating way to definitely look into these sorts of things, especially when trying to pitch things to local government and that sort of thing. I guess, finally, would you be able to give us a little bit more info about where we can find out more information, I guess, and where we can actually see the film?
Oh, okay, no worries. Well, it's occurring at the... Just wait, I'm going to put my glasses on for a minute.
No worries.
I've been campaigning for 30 years. So no pain, no train. It runs for about 10 minutes, and it will be screening at the Environmental Film Festival of Australia at Federation Square at the ACMI, the Australian Centre for the Moving Image. So that is at 6 p.m. on Friday the 13th of October. The website if you wanted to have a look at that, is EFFA.org.au.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.